right, let's welcome back in, everyone. Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Biggest story of the day nationally, across the board, it has to be Willie Nylander's long-term deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. 8 years, $92 million contract, full no move, expiring in 2032.
Yeah, also not a real year. That's too far in the future, and I don't believe it's a year.
Considered the largest contract value in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs, what that means for others now moving forward, plenty of guys, including Petey in Vancouver, who might be licking his chops.
Yeah, he's like, however you say thank you in Swedish, that's what he said.
There might be a few guys like that. But, you know, just to recap, JB, your thoughts on the deal, and then we'll ask you, Sammy.
My thoughts on the deal are that the player is worth that value, but that it is frustrating for fans because there's no discount. They gave him every conceivable thing he could have wanted. So I don't think it's a crisis for the Leafs, but I'm not going to sit here and say they won in any conceivable shape or form.
According to Google, thanks in Swedish is tack. T-A-C-K. Tack.
Okay.
Tack. So he said tack to me. I think if he continues to be what he is right now, this is going to be a fine contract and one we don't talk a whole lot about. If the play dips, not significantly, but if the play dips even a little bit next year, I think the conversations in this market will start. I know you, the way that people feel about William Nylander, a certain sect of Leafs Nation, not the most fond of him. And as I read through this text line, there's some comments about him. I just really think that he needs to continue playing at this level for people to not be mad about this contract.
When we have now guys in the league,
heck of a level,
making,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Making 10, 15 times more than a guy on the fourth line. Isn't that just a given with any team out there now that you perform, we'll leave you alone, you dip, we're going to be all over you like a wet blanket.
Yeah, kind of mirror society. The top 1% or 2% is going to make a ton of money and everyone else is just kind of forgotten. But we will still boo the top 1% or 2% when they don't, you know, when they buy Twitter and Twitter stock, for example.
We're going to welcome in Elliot Friedman in a few moments from Hockey Night in Canada to talk about this deal and what it may mean for others, including Pettersson in Vancouver. Also joining us will be Willie Nylander in about half an hour. Mm-hmm. And we'll get his thoughts on the deal and how much he may or may not reveal. Won't keep us from asking some questions.
Willie's pretty good at saying nothing, but really we'll talk good to him. We'll get on his level.
I wonder how much plays into the contract, and maybe we'll ask Willie this as well. And I don't know, again, if this gets played up or not, but for these type of guys that the number isn't really the number when it comes to taking home real dollars because of tax implications. And as it was pointed out to me again today, that a guy like Sebastian Aho, who makes 9.5, I believe, or 9.7 on his new deal, and a lot of people wanted to shape that comparison for Willie Nylander, and Willie should be at a 9.5 or 9.7. But when you consider the tax brackets of Ontario, I think it being at 55 and
versus Carolina.
Carolina at 41 or 42. Yeah. Like Sebastian Aho makes more money to take home than Willie's 11.5.
Is that right?
Yes.
So swing and a half.
Is that?
I mean, that's a competitive advantage.
That is.
It absolutely is.
That is a huge disadvantage to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, for me, another reason why that number has to come up.
Here in Canada, do you think
it's a
ridiculous suggestion that there should be some sort of prorated salary cap based on tax implications so that some places a competitive advantage?
I think it's a disaster to try to play that game.
Why?
Because
there's pretty hard numbers about taxes, isn't there?
No, they change all the time.
Well, then change the cap all the time.
I just don't know there's any way around it.
Yeah.
And here you have the biggest market in the league worried about players leaving.
Mm-hmm. You just got to pay them what they're worth, I guess. And that's certainly what happened here.
Maybe that's another reason why they've just come to the conclusion that whether it's Matthews or Marner or Tavares, you want to come here, that's fine. But I'm not giving up all that tax and the cost of living. And, you know, there's all these factors that may be going into their decision.
But, you know, you have to factor in the inevitable Osmo sponsorship. I think Smuckers does one. Skip the Dishes. We can make you a couple bucks back here in Canada.
You know what? It's nowhere near where people think.
No, I know. It's like, okay, here's 40 grand. It's like, you know.
40 grand? No.
No, listen, on a major corporation, you know, if you're lucky to get 100 or 200 grand, but
really,
it's not U.S. money,
yes.
Sammy. You're going
for a guy like Osmos
for
chicken on the rocks.
Yeah, it's real good
for guys like that are lucky enough to be maybe involved in a national campaign. It's only for like 35 million people. The basketball players and the football players are talking to 350 million people in the U.S.
Nola Chari got signed by or traded to the Leafs. His nickname's Cookie. Tim Hortons gives him a cookie sponsorship. He's in one commercial and then he's somewhere else. Okay, couldn't have made.
You mentioned Osmo's
cookies.
RJ Barrett, he got traded to the Raptors, who are absolutely back, by the way. He got traded to the Raptors and he was doing like his open gym thing and he was talking about how he was like on the way to an Osmo sponsorship.
Is
he
that
got
true?
Here. Yes. Okay, he got here the other day.
There's also
grandfather did.
There's also
booster
the
juice?
Impression that, you know, this is free money for these guys.
Yeah. Also
it's
taxed.
Not. Also taxed. And also, hey, what are you doing for me here? I want you here,
yeah,
and here,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
gotta
You're
come
working.
And spend 2 days on a commercial shoot and you know. That's some guys are like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I only get 8 weeks off or 6 weeks off in the summer.
Yeah.
I ain't giving 4 days to you in a commercial for 50 grand.
P.S. All the brands we just mentioned we love, and the address is 1 Mount Pleasant.
You want jam?
Yeah. Buddy, send me. I got two kids.
Let's go. Speaking of jam, let's welcome in Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada.
There he is.
That was pretty shameless,
God.
Justin. I have to say, that was pretty shameless.
Don't care, bud. Don't care.
Elliot, no real surprise here. It just kind of picked up right where we left it off, I guess, last week in terms of getting a deal done. Were you surprised at any of the details at all? North of 11 was right where we thought it would be.
No, when you threw it out, Nick, like it was heating up. Like there was no question that you were on the right train, and obviously proven to be correct by what happened today. The only thing I was ever just really wondering about was the exact number. It was such a secret for a little while. I was wondering if there was something we just didn't see out there. You know, the only thing that has kind of surprised me today, I have to say, Nick, is the idea that if they'd done it in the summer, it might have only cost them 9.5. Like, I don't think that was ever the case. I think Nylander and his camp made it very clear that if the Maple Leafs wanted to sign him, whether it was the summer or it was now, it was going to be in this range. And I don't think the idea of signing him for 8.5 or 9.5 was, I mean, maybe the Leafs thought they were going to do that, but I just don't think that was ever on the table from Nylander and his camp.
Friedge, do you get the sense that there was any sort of concession from the Nylander camp, or this was an eventual, the Leafs said, okay, we just got to give him what they're asking for? Like, I put my one tweet about this. I can't imagine a thing that they would have asked for that they didn't get. They seem to have gotten the whole enchilada.
12? I mean, that's the answer. I think this, like, I honestly, Justin, I spent the last couple of days just as everybody else was doing, just calling around, trying to figure out where this was going to end up. And, you know, it was funny. I talked to a few teams that have negotiated with Lewis Gross in the past, and they said that what he does is, you know, he gets to a number and he justifies it from his point of view, and he doesn't move. He especially when he's got the leverage. Like, sometimes you don't have leverage and you have to take what you get. But this was a case where they had leverage, particularly with the way that Nylander had played this year. So they stuck to their guns. And, you know, like, I got to tell you, I do not like bringing family into this. I really don't. But this is a unique case. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Michael, who played a long time in the National Hockey League and knows exactly how this business works, and he sees what he thinks his son is worth. I think he was pushing the same thing, that this is what we're worth. And if you want to sign Willie Nylander, this is going to be what it's going to be. And, you know, with everything else you mentioned there, the no move clause, the bonuses, look, the Maple Leafs have made it very clear. They're a bonus team. They did it with Tavares, they did it with Matthews, they did it with Marner. They certainly weren't going to be able to say, no, not in this case. And the no move clause all the way through, you know, I don't know how much everybody fought about that, but like, I'm not surprised of any of this. I just think that they drew a line in the sand and said, this is where you're going to end up if you want to keep this player. And ultimately, I think the Maple Leafs just decided we want to keep this player.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Someone mentioned to me last week when I did bring up the contract that they wanted a deal done before the All-Star weekend. And certainly today's plenty of time for that. But, you know, one of my questions back was, well, why wouldn't they just take this right to the very end? Why wouldn't they just take this to June 30th? If they believe that they would eventually give in to this number that's been revealed today at 11.5, why not wait at the last second, just in fact, to maybe just feel like if you could still bring them down a little bit, if the player really wants to be here and doesn't want to move, would it have shown more to wait? Like, why now?
Why now, I think, Nick, is because I think they're going to look around the deadline. Now they have some certainty about what else they can do. Like, we know the cap next year is going to be around 87. We know what Nylander's number is going to be. So they can do, if they're looking at a defenseman with term, say at the deadline, now they know, or defenseman they're going to trade for that they can resign, potentially, hint, then now they know what they can do. Nick, I think they wanted to know now so that if they are going to do anything at the deadline that's going to affect their roster beyond the season, they know exactly what their numbers are going to be. And I think that played a very big part in this. I think they wanted it over with, and they wanted some certainty in what they could do around them with numbers.
Elliot, I know you don't like to talk about that family aspect, and I'm sorry to go back to it, but I just asking out of genuine confusion of what is Michael's role? Is he's an agent, and Lewis Gross is the agent. Are they both his agents?
They work together.
What does that mean?
You know what? I haven't checked, Justin, if Nylander is still an agent. I mean, I probably should.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for pointing out how terribly I do my job.
No. That's genuine confusion.
I'm totally kidding. I'm just busting you. I should have checked, like, to be honest. Like, at one time, Nylander was a registered agent. I don't know if he still is. I have to double check that.
Sam believes he is here to my left.
Okay, so he still is. Well, that's the thing. Like,
I do.
And one of the things that, you know, happens here, Justin, is like I think that Lewis Gross handles the heavy lifting and prepares the case, but Michael plays a huge role. He says that this is what I think my son is worth. And at the end of the day, you know, look, like, the one thing I don't like about all this, and actually I had a really interesting call with someone yesterday who said to me that they don't always like the way that William gets portrayed in all of this, that he's like just some rube who does whatever his dad tells him to do. And because I think, you know him a little bit, Justin. I think he's got a much stronger personality than that. And it's a very big part of this. I don't think he was afraid to say no until he got what he wanted here, too. But what I think is that the agent, he does a lot of the heavy lifting. He does a lot of the negotiations. But Michael plays a very big role in yes or no. And I do believe there were times during this process, too, that the Maple Leafs spoke with him directly. And just said, you know, hey, like, where are you in all of this? So they had a really good idea. So I think he's more than a parent, And obviously, I guess, as Sam mentioned, he's still an agent. I didn't check, but I think he plays a huge role in all of this.
Elliot, now people start going to the next story and the domino effect of this this signing and what it means for the Toronto Maple Leafs, perhaps Mitch Marner in the next few years, and then outside of the league. But let's just talk about maybe as early as July 1st when the Leafs are eligible to re-sign Mitch Marner. How does this play into all of that?
Well, I think, Nick, there's actually two big storylines on July 1st, and one is Mitch Marner and the other is John Tavares. Because I do think part of this is, like, if you heard Tavares today, he sounds like a guy to me who wants to finish his career in Toronto, and he's basically, he's on record as saying that. But what's the number, Nick? Like, it's not going to be 11, so I'm sure at some point the Maple Leafs are going to have a conversation with him about what his next deal is going to look like and, you know, how far down it's going to be, because that's going to be a huge factor in all of this as they plan for the future. I mean, I would defer to you on this one. Nobody in the media knows Marner better than you do. Nobody knows the way he thinks better than you do. You know, I would assume he's going to be looking for a raise. I wonder if they're going to offer him the same deal that they offered Nylander now. I don't know. I haven't asked anybody that. But, you know, I definitely think that's the next bit. I think those are the next two big questions. What does Tavares' next deal look like, and what does Marner's next deal look like? Because one's going to be down, and I just assume, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that Marner's going to be looking for a raise.
Yeah, well, just earlier on our conversations, Elliot, tell me what the playoffs looked like. Tell me how successful they were. Tell me where Mitch Marner was in driving the team. Mm-hmm. So, and Tavares to that point. You know, I look at Tavares and... Yeah, no question. When you make that move from the island and you turn down going to San Jose, you're coming home to finish it out here. So I think the Leafs would be totally in the driver's seat there. You, whatever it is, I'm not suggesting that he's going to take a minimum contract.
Right.
But under his career earnings, I don't think $1.5 to $4 million a year would matter any differently to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing is, if he's still like a 40-goal guy.
Right.
There's not a lot of 40-goal guys that sign for $1.5 million. So, you know, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's two things. It's his willingness to stay, which he clearly wants to do, Nick, but also performance matters. And, you know, the other – so and also, what kind of term are we going to be talking about there? Like, I got to tell you, like, when this was signed, I was like, okay, we can breathe for a couple of days and not have to worry about any of this. And then I remembered, okay, where am I?
Tell us about Marner.
We're on to the next one. You know, the Marner one, like, he's a great player. He just is. He's a great, great player. And, you know, one of the things that was a factor here in the Nylander was – you know, he definitely felt that that he was not going to be the only guy taking a haircut. And Marner certainly isn't taking a haircut now, but I'm sure he'll want something commensurate with the guys who are now ahead of him. And we'll just have to see where that number is. But, you know, I think the big thing that they did today, well, there's two. There's number one, they got this done, so it's no longer a story. And now they have some idea of what their cap situation is. And they can target whoever they want to target on the blue line, because I do think that's something they're going to do as soon as the deadline here.
Friedge, we have you on in our national hour here, so I want to ask you about Elias Pettersson and, you know, that contract. Yeah. Now he had 103 points last year, and it's, you know, well above a point per game this year. I mean, is this kind of the floor for Petey's next deal in Vancouver?
I think so. And but the one thing I think the bigger challenge is for them is, when's he ready to talk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, like, you know, people say, well, okay, now Nylander's done. We know what the floor is for Pettersson. I think the bigger question is, when is he going to be ready to say, okay, I'm willing to listen to you? I think Vancouver has indicated that they're ready to talk to him anytime. And everybody there knows that Vancouver is going to throw a ton of money at him when he's ready. To me, it's more about when Pettersson says, all right, I'm ready to go. And don't kid yourself, Justin. Vancouver knows this one is going to cost them, and they're going to go right at it.
Outside of that, Elliot, you had mentioned Tavares eligible for a contract extension with Marner as early as July 1st. Also in the mix of that is Jake Guentzel, another terrific scoring winger for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about his agent on the weekend, you know, talking about his situation and the sense that he could be in play for trade deadline.
I think it's possible. You know, the one thing I think there is, I think they've talked to him. I think they've tried to sign him, Nick. At this point in time, it hasn't happened. And if you're the Penguins, you're probably sitting there and saying, okay, if it hasn't happened by now, is there any reason it's going to be different? One of the things that I have heard that has started to become a bit of a conversation there is when Kyle Dubas was hired, he was hired to keep going to the playoffs and rebuild the team. Those are two really difficult things to do at the same time. And I think some of the questions there are, you know, what is the future going to be for Pittsburgh? Is there ever a chance they're going to take a step back? And, you know, I think for guys like Guentzel, I think they're wondering about that a little bit too.
Last one for me, just while we're talking about scoring wingers, Leon Draisaitl is the other name that fascinates me. You know, what could this end up meaning for Leon Draisaitl?
I think whatever, like, Draisaitl's next deal is going to be a big one.
A big
one. I think the Oilers know it. I think the Oilers know it. I think, and I believe as long as the Oilers are good, like, look, the Edmonton made a panic move at the beginning of this year when they made the coaching change. This is the wrong year for them to have a bad year.
Right.
Because it's headed into Draisaitl and we're 2 years away from McDavid. So I think that's a big reason in why they made a change. As long as they're good, I think Draisaitl stays. But Justin, I think the Oilers know that this next one is going to be a mega deal. Yeah. And whatever he wants, they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the storylines here, Nick. And you know, you played with a lot of guys who made big money. In the past, the star players have always taken a bit less, especially in the cap era.
Sid.
I think those days are over. I think we are seeing now that a lot of the star players are saying, nope, we're not doing that anymore. And some will always be different. There will be other guys who don't do it. But I think you're going to start seeing a lot more of the star players saying, you know, I'm going to take a bigger piece of the pie here.
Elliot, we've also heard from a lot of agents lately that the focus is on percentage of the cap.
Yeah.
Less than the actual dollars. One needs to be settled first before you get into dollars. And Willie's deal ended up being 13.1% mm-hmm. of the Leafs' salary cap. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Connor McDavid's last deal was over 16% of Edmonton's mm-hmm. Salary cap. Are they mm-hmm. still in a position to take 16 or 17% of the cap? I know 20 is the max, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 is the max.
Do you see Connor or Leon absorbing that much on their next deal?
I don't know if it'll be – I don't know if we'll get to 20. I don't know, but I think we will see – like to me, as far as I'm concerned with McDavid, like there's no contract that's unfair for him.
No.
Whatever he wants, you just give it to him without any
Here's
complaint.
Your 20%, yeah.
Here you go. And, like, to be honest, I heard the last time they negotiated with him, McDavid's people said, we're not going to take 20%. The Oilers were like, thank freaking God, because we would have given it to you.
Yeah, they chopped $1 million off of it, I think, or $750.
Yeah, because McDavid, when it first got out, McDavid didn't like the reaction to it. So, but you know what? I don't know if we'll get to 20, Justin. But, you know, 16, 17, someone's going to be the first to go for, well, 20. Yager had 20. Brad Richards briefly had 20. But, like, someone could go 16, 17, 18. Yeah, I think you'll see it.
What do you have a Sportsnet's cap, Elliot?
I think I have. I've been looking at those quarter two returns. I think I'm negative 1%.
Elliot hasn't been home in 4 months to earn that cap money.
Fair enough.
That's right. That's right.
Elliot, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Friedge.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Speak to you later.
Appreciate it, man.
Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. So
We got to go to get to Willie.
Are we going to break?
Yeah, let's hit the break.
All right, let's go to break. Willie Nylander, live and in person, and $92 million richer after the break.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Massive contract by Willie Nylander to stay in Toronto till 2032. Let's welcome him in right now. Happy to be joined by Willie Nylander. Willie, first and foremost, congratulations on the contract. And how important was it for you to get this done well before, say, the All-Star break?
My thought process was just to keep playing the way I've been playing. I mean, I'm really happy that I was able to get done. I mean, this time so fast compared to last time.
Yeah, fair enough. So how much do you think about the pending deal as it's kind of going on throughout the season, Willie?
I mean, I'm not thinking too much about it. I mean, every once in a while, Lewis would call me and give me an update on what's going on. But, I mean, I was just focused on playing hockey, and we'll still be focused on playing hockey.
And Willie, a lot of people, you know, when we first heard that the talks were in the summer, and I'm sure you could have signed a lot earlier for less, but where were you in terms of how far you wanted to push this? Because there's always the risk of a player getting hurt or having an off year. How big of a decision was it for you to push forward and prove that you deserved the money that you are getting now?
I just sat there in the summer, and at that point in time, I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to start playing the season, and obviously it would have been nice to go into the season with a deal, but honestly, I'm not really thinking so much about that. I'm just happy to be in Toronto for 8 more years, and what I told Brad was, this is where I want to win, and this is where, we got to do this. So that's just been my initial thoughts over the entire process.
Willie, it's been a long time since you and I crossed paths when I was with the Marlies there. I can't help but think back to your relationship with Sheldon Keefe as a young player. You know, you've been here a long time, and you've had Sheldon as your coach for most of the time. Curious how your relationship with him has evolved over those years.
Yeah, obviously he's pushed me to become the player that I am today, and always been, from the Marley days up until now, it's been a journey, and we're going to keep going.
Hey, Willie, I know your dad as a teammate in Hartford and a roommate on the road, but I don't know him so much as an agent, but apparently he's pretty good, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, when you have a guy that's played a lot of years in the NHL, I think he could be a pretty good agent. Obviously super, super thankful for what he's done for me in my career and obviously my mom and my family.
Hey, are you getting a break on the fees? Come on,
dads
are supposed to love you without fees.
No, you're supposed to give back.
You want me to call them, straighten them out for you?
More.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you do. That's how it works.
So you got to pay me back for those 18 years when you're living at home.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Good way to funnel it back. I love that. So, this year, you guys have been humming along. You're coming off a 3-game win streak here. Shot a couple in the net last game. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on this year's team and how it's different from previous iterations of the Toronto Maple Leafs you've been on.
Yeah, every year we have a different team and a different, season going through certain ups and downs. Which happens every year as we're building to become the team that we want to be come April. I think we have a great group of guys, and I mean, obviously, I wouldn't want to stay here if I didn't believe in the group and the management and the club.
And the love affair with the city and the commercials. Now you got enough money to maybe charter a whole TTC train by yourself here. But just in terms of the fan base, Willie, and you know what they've meant to you over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been very special having the support of the fans. I mean, every night playing in front of them and getting to do that for another 8 years is incredibly special. I mean, to do it for such a storied franchise, it couldn't be any better.
Okay, and also, like, Sugo is here, and I see the hat all the time. Are you an investor? Do they sponsor you, or do you just love the restaurant? What is the relationship with Sugo?
No, I just go there and eat sometimes, and I mean, they just give me hats sometimes. I mean, I love that place.
Oh, I got some hats for you, too, there. Hey, Willie, congratulations, man, on the deal. Every penny earned this season, proving your point that you're one of the top wingers in the game. Good luck the rest of the way, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Willie. Appreciate it.
Willie Nylander.
Thank you.
Now, one of the top paid players in the game.
Yeah, kind of got what we expected.
Yeah, listen, he's, you know, there, as far as getting any type of detail or getting him to open up on, like, he's in that player mode, right?
Yeah.
Wherever you go, it's just happy it got done and wanted to be here and glad it's over.
Yeah.
I got a couple chuckles out of him.
Well, I think that interview is exactly why he's perfect for Toronto.
Perfect.
Where it's just like... And he could not have sounded more annoyed to have to do that.
And we appreciated every second of it.
He appreciated it.
Absolutely.
And well, I like that you asked him about Sugo, and I thought it was a pretty good joke about his dad. You know, I know his dad. Like, I thought that was good.
Yeah. So, check him a couple bucks.
I think that's the best we could have done, boys. Best we could have done.
All right, we still have to do two things.
Yeah, we're going to do game time.
Yes, we do.
What was the other thing?
Just news and notes.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, well. It's the aforementioned Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must
it's
be 19 plus. Whoa, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So I don't know if Kipper likes when I do this, but I'm going off the NHL tonight.
Is it the Ohtani thing again?
No, Ohtani. Okay. Good God.
They signed a couple guys, by the way.
Who?
Not just Ohtani. I just mean everyone. They signed everyone.
They signed former J. Teoscar Hernandez as well.
You know what's scary? We're in like 2024. And people are screaming for $250,000 more for Willie.
Oh, I know.
From 11 to 5 to 5. And yet, those guys are signing for like almost $1 billion, Ohtani Canadian funds.
I was going to say, when Elliot was like, I think the days of people in the NHL stars taking this like hometown discount is over. To me, it's because they're looking around at the best players in other leagues going, I'm sorry, what does Shohei make?
Yeah, but Shohei does... two things at once.
Right.
It's like if Willie was the starting goalie,
strike Shohei from what does LeBron make? Or what is,
a lot.
Look at the best players in other sports and go, why am I playing for 250 less?
That joke, I think Jimmy Ralph says when he does his stand-up or, you know, he hosts, he's like, when he signed his first contract with the Chicago Blackhawks, and they told him, okay, now don't tell anybody what you make.
Right.
And he says, okay, I'm just as embarrassed as you are.
Exactly.
That's classic.
That's the stars in our league.
That's the stars in our league today.
Yes. Like, I hope Leon and Connor make 18 or whatever in their next deals.
I
want the Oilers to
not
be
to
good,
go
so
down this
not.
Whole merry-go-round.
I know, we'll get to you, Sam. Yeah,
it's fine.
Just, it's just horrible that, and, you know, I've stated it. Like, there's a real jealousy issue here inside the dressing rooms. And it's
who cares?
No, what do you mean?
It affects the product.
I don't care if my lesser player has so much ego he can't handle that the best player on earth is making 10 times as much as him. I don't care.
Until they don't deliver and they're making 15 times more than you.
Well, then he's worth less than that, and we'll find someone who will deliver.
I'm just telling you, it's real, yeah, and it's out there.
Okay.
That, you know, the more you take, the less you leave for the rest of us.
I get that.
Anyways.
Oh, hi, game time.
Game time. It is the national championship game tonight in college football.
Yes.
Which will take 5 hours. So if you're new to college football, strap in because they review every play. This takes a long time. But the glitz and glam.
Is the Pop-Tart playing?
I don't know. The glitz and glam around the national championship game, two extremely historic programs in the Washington Huskies and the Michigan Wolverines. You know, Washington is a pretty big underdog, but they're a much more electric offense with this quarterback, Michael Penix. That's a really good play. They're a 5-point underdog. But I do like the Michigan Wolverines. I have a lot of good buddies who are diehard Wolverines fans. I also have a good buddy, J.D. Bunkus, who's a diehard Washington fan. I'm having a tough time leaning either way, but give me the underdog in the Washington Huskies at plus 180. Or if you want to go on the spread, it's minus 105 for plus 105.
Why is this game so late in January now? Wasn't it like a New Year's Day?
No. So they, because it's the playoff, because they used to do it standard, where it was just like the game at the end. Like They used to like declare the winner.
Right.
And now like, they have a playoff.
You.
So the Rose Bowl now is the first one of the playoffs. And the other one goes to, I forget where the other one is, Texas maybe.
Okay.
So it's like, and then they go to Houston to play the final. But tonight it's the Washington Huskies versus Michigan Wolverines. And I'm really excited for the game. I love it.
Don't care? Well, I mean, growing up in BC, I liked Washington. I liked their colors, pro Husky. So, I mean, I'm leaning that way. I know and nothing about it.
This will be this is half the country watching this thing. Will they get 30 million?
This is a massive event. A massive event. And it's the fact that it's Michigan in it, which is like one of the most storied things in college football. It's a huge, huge matchup tonight.
All right.
So, and the last thing I had quickly, because you guys were talking about Ohtani for the first 5 minutes. It's a 94 rematch tonight. Kippers, Rangers beat the Canucks.
Oh, yeah, it is. Kirk McLean playing?
Kirk McLean is not in the lineup tonight.
Okay.
Vancouver Canucks are pretty heavy underdogs, plus 125 at Madison Square Garden. You know I like a dog. Give me the Vancouver Canucks to avenge Kippers Stanley Cup ring.
It'll all be Madison even Square after Garden. That.
There you go. Yeah. No one will forget.
Rangers are struggling a little bit, keeping the puck out.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
I'm just going to finish up here. Yeah, that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
As good as the Vancouver Canucks are, they're not sitting at the top of the NHL mountain right now. The Winnipeg Jets.
I know.
And we still aren't giving them enough love.
I don't know. This has become the Sasha Barkov thing. Like, everyone says they're good.
Who, the Jets?
Yes.
Yeah, they're so underrated. They don't get enough credit. They're the best team in the league. Is that enough credit? They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are. They're on fire. The biggest thing is they just don't give up goals.
No.
I don't know how many games now they've given up three or less goals, but it's got to be in the 20s.
And we made fun of them for that Connor Hellebuyck contract. Or I did, at least.
Why?
No, that didn't happen here. Don't put that on us.
Not on our show.
Are you sure?
No, that
was you and Bunkus. You and someone else.
Your IQ drops 50 points when you're with Bunkus.
I'm pretty sure you guys were surprised. I remember some emotions.
I may have been skeptical of the Scheifele part of that.
Okay, but the Hellebuyck thing, it's like, yeah, he's the best goalie in the league probably, right?
Yeah.
If you had one game, you're picking
Let
a goalie.
Let me ask you something. I think I would pick
him. And I wrote an article for the Toronto Star last week on, you know, kind of like the demise of the goaltending market.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to Winnipeg after he found out New Jersey wasn't going to be willing to drive the price up.
Oh, you think that was the play? Was
he had talks.
New Jersey's just going, what have we done? Why didn't we do it?
So let me ask you something. If he doesn't re-up and he goes to UFA on another Vezina year, like
someone offers him 4x4 because the goaltending is cruel.
Could you have seen someone get to 10 million for him?
For sure.
The problem with goaltending is term. Because you're going to give him 7 years if he's a UFA? 10x7?
Mm.
Although Bob is making a resurgence, or last year he did anyway. But no, I think he would have got 10 million. He's that good. He's special.
Okay. You mentioned Bobrovsky there, and it just popped into my mind. I wanted to talk to you about this. People are already pissed off about how much Leafs we've talked in this show, but too bad.
I mean, they're one of the teams in Canada.
I hate that the Leafs are probably going to play the the Panthers.
They are going to play the Panthers.
Did you watch any Panthers Avs Florida's probably on the weekend?
Boston. I watched it where they scored early and often.
Barkov was
unbelievable.
Beast.
Wearing the full visor. Yeah, the fishbowl. Yeah.
I think I read something. Old Ryan Lambert had something. I read a paragraph where Florida's top five in basically every statistical category,
so
outside
good.
Goals four per 60 or something. But yes, they're good in literally every department. They're physical.
Two lines that are just coming right at you. And Sam Reinhart, who, when I watched him first start his career in Buffalo as a second overall pick.
Yeah. To who?
I didn't think he could skate.
Sorry, to Buffalo.
No, but who was it? Who went first in that draft? Just thinking to myself. Go ahead, Kip.
I'm like, okay, could have a decent career, but I didn't envision this.
I didn't ask for that. Yeah, he's got 28 goals and 50 points in 39 games, and he's looking at that Nylander contract going with cartoon Awuga eyes.
This is funny. I'm just looking at that draft. Three of the top five picks play for the Florida Panthers. Sam Reinhart, Aaron Ekblad was the first overall pick, and Sam Bennett went fourth.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Who's the other dude in there?
Leon Draisaitl went third, and Michael Dal Colle to your Islanders at five. Oopsies. That's Willie Nylander draft.
Wow. He was eight.
So yep. Reinhart will benefit. No question.
You think he's going to get paid like Willie?
I don't think so either.
He's not that.
No,
his career is not.
And he's not.
He doesn't skate he's like Willie
not
to keep
a
it up.
Dynamic player.
No, I am less confident. This seems more like the massive outlying season for him.
Well, he scored 30 goals back to back years.
33, 31. He's got 28 right now, Sam. He's got 39 games.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's, this is.
Let
freakish.
Me ask you about, it seems like we're just, we can't get off the money train.
Yeah, it's a money show.
It's a money show today.
That's okay.
It's a Willie
bring in Jim
money
Kramer.
Show today.
Don't bring in Jim Kramer.
One of the teams that Florida played on the weekend, Colorado, Mikko Rantanen, is also eligible for a contract extension this July. What is he worth for
he's
you?
Awesome too.
And
is
a Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, and he is a few points behind Willie, and I think statistically throughout his career, a higher points per game guy.
Who should we should ask? Or Terry Lekkonen's dad. That's who we should ask.
And you know,
it
seems like he's been around forever, and he's just 28 years old.
Yeah.
So he can easily lock in for 8 years, and you're not feeling like you're getting cheated.
Also, you know, 50 points in 40 games, he had 55 goals and 105 points last year. Yeah. Good Lord, 6'4", 215, 28 years old. Yeah, he's going to make 13.
87 points.
13.
87 points in 70
how
playoff
is he not?
Games.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
He has a case to say I'm among the handful of best players in hockey.
Someone sent me a note that said you guys didn't talk enough about Connor and Dreisaitl's deal, because you brought it up last week.
Yeah.
We had Elliot Friedman on the top of the hour here talking about a potential Dreisaitl deal. But I still say that this has to be done with both guys. I would never negotiate without, I'd go a new way with these two guys.
I would not negotiate amongst yourselves
individually. I would bring them together and say, boys, we're not leaving the room. You guys love each other, right? Yeah. Okay. We know that. You go to sporting events, you hang out,
but you can't
you fish.
Like, you can't
no,
do
you
your
can.
Idea. No, you can't.
You get them in a room and you say,
because the number you are giving them,
here we have
a pretty good pile.
I've got $30 million.
I thought
you
said $32
million. $32 million. Whatever.
Do I hear 33? 33
going to
get 34.
No. I won't go past 30. I don't even want to go past 30.
31.
31.
Okay.
How do you guys
Oilers fan
want to split it up?
16.5, 13.5. Did my math work there? No, that's 30. Whatever.
16.
Give both another half mil then.
And 13.5. See, I would
was
go.
Was it 31? 17 and 14. That's the math.
I would go, yeah. I 16, 14. Let's just say it's 30 for a second.
This is okay. Awesome radio, guys.
If,
good math.
Even
listen.
If you did, even, let's just
my
say 30
SAT
for now.
My SAT scores and math weren't great.
you can do 16-14,
yeah,
but you can't really do 17-13.
No?
No.
I guess.
Not for Draisaitl.
Draisaitl does have a Hart Trophy. You're right. You can't give Draisaitl 13.
Yep.
In fact, he's worth
great observation.
Way more than that.
quickly, Bedard sucks. Hurts.
Yeah, Bedard, broken jaw.
Got rocked.
Got rocked.
And I just, we love him, but. But what are you going 1,000 miles through the middle of the ice
straight
to
down.
Hit a brick wall with your head down?
Ah, come on. That's,
what do you mean, come on?
Well, this is how the guy has scored a trillion points to become the top prospect.
Scored a trillion points in junior.
Yeah.
Kipper's right, though. He never even considered peaking.
Come on.
He just went straight head down.
You remember who else got smoked as a rookie and had their career or season derailed? Connor McDavid.
Yep.
Connor McDavid got crushed going a little too aggressively into the boards, missed half the season.
Okay, lesson learned.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
This is part of the got to do things differently, I guess.
Kind of goes into a little bit what I told you guys at the beginning of the year. Too much, too soon.
No, it's not like he's been getting crushed like Nick Robertson did last year.
It's
every
taxing.
Other game.
Playing all these games at this level with the intensity, the bright lights, the media, it can cause you to.
Yeah.
Maybe let your guard down for 5 seconds and maybe do something that you don't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we witnessed.
I would love to see Chicago say, we are not, you know, maybe this is their Celebrini year and they try to have these two guys, but we're not doing this anymore. We are immediately trying to dig out of the ditch. We're going to pay for UFAs. Pedersen, if that's the rumor, sure. What are they giving you? We'll give you more. You know, like I would love to see them get serious. I hate watching teams.
Well, it's like the Spurs.
For 4 years. Like, is that worth it?
Yeah.
It's like the Spurs with Wembanyama this year. It's like, they just have no plan.
Five wins.
They have no plan. They have this freak of nature on their team. They didn't sign any good players. They're just like, yeah, we'll suck again. It's like, how many years are those little bones going to survive?
Right.
It's like, just be good. It's
pigeon bones. 7-4.
Yeah. So it just sucks that he's hurt. He's not going to be at the All-Star game now, probably, right? Broken jaw.
Have they said how long? 6 weeks?
Wild. No timeline, but that's a while. Broken jaw. That sucks.
Well, he can unlock his sister's doors now, right? On that commercial.
Oh yeah.
Right? He's got the from a distance.
Yeah.
A key. I don't remember what brand it was for.
I don't know either.
And Marc-Andre Fleury ties Patrick Waugh, ever heard of him? For second most wins all time.
Hall of Famer for you guys?
Unfortunately, yes.
The guy.
We're running out of things to talk about.
No, that is a, you know, it's really cool to see someone universally loved have so much success. And, I mean.
You know, did you catch his Superman save on the weekend?
Yeah, he's so entertaining.
Bunkus has been brought up here a lot, but I have to give him credit. I texted him about this. He said, this is another amazing Sidney Crosby stat.
Oh, then he got Fleury. Yeah.
I think it's true.
Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury, second all time in wins. What a Crosby stat.
Good goalie.
Yeah.
No question. But like second all time wins?
That is pretty baffling.
It's crazy to me.
It does speak to love of the game and longevity. This guy loves to be a hockey goalie, which not everyone does, I can assure you. I've practiced with many who don't.
Sens.
Oh, boy.
Like
it's not the reaction they were hoping for in January.
Elliot Saturday night said they'd like to make some move with maybe getting some more veteran. Or I'm like, isn't that what Claude Giroux was supposed to do? And like, they're going to have to make some tough decisions with some of their core guys.
But they do remind me more of a Vancouver where it's like they should be better than they are. Like, can we do some other things to figure this out other than ship out core guys?
I do like the Vancouver parallel where they just hire Berube next year and they're just really good.
Well, yeah.
Trade for a top pair D. Yeah, that helps.
They hire Tocchet when they weren't going anywhere.
Who's that? Vancouver?
Yes.
Yeah.
So hire Berube now.
Yeah.
Don't wait
in the offseason.
No, you're right.
Let him start putting in new culture now.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board with that. And give the fans a reason to be excited about
it. Well, they should hire him as a coaching consultant.
Right. And have him choose who should be the coach.
Yeah, there you go.
And then he should hire himself.
Yeah. Ouchie.
All right, boys. Good job today. Our thanks to Elliot Friedman on the top of the hour.
Thank you.
And
Lewis
of course,
Gross, Michael Nylander.
Willie Nylander for joining us today. His new 8-year, $92 million contract officially kicks in next season. But we don't have to talk about it from here on.
Woo-hoo!
All right. Enjoy your night, everybody. What's our signature game, you guys said? Vancouver and the Rangers tonight. Yeah. Enjoy it. We're back tomorrow. on Real Kipper and Bourne.